Hello, and welcome to 21 and 21, a rapid-fire Q&A show from the Presidio Bitcoin. I'm Haley Burko, and today I'm speaking with open-source Bitcoin developer Ben Carman. He recently joined the Spiral team after a brief stint at Taproot Wizards. Before that, Ben worked at Mutiny, a non-custodial Lightning wallet. Ben, welcome to Presidio Bitcoin.
Thanks for having me. It's beautiful here.
I'm so glad you liked it, and I'm so glad that you could make it.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I won't give you too much information about this show since I heard that you've watched this before, particularly the Rockstar Dev episode.
I have to support my uncle, as always.
You have to. So I'm just going to go ahead and hit the stop clock and we're going to get right into it.
Let's go for it.
All right, let's go. So what brings you to Presidio Bitcoin?
And you guys, this week was the Spiral offsite and it's my first week of Spiral. So basically just meet all the team, or I already knew most of everyone. So re-meeting everyone, hanging out, and just catching up on all things LDK, BDK, and what the future holds for Spiral. It's been really fun and informative, and really good dinners and everything, so good stuff.
You joined at the perfect time, yeah. Literally the week of our offsite.
Yeah, worked out on accident perfectly.
Did. So what are you working on right now?
And I think what I started on is a kind of secret, so I can't totally talk about it, but basically just being onboarded onto LDK things and LDK-dependent projects. Kind of the goals with LDK is like we have a kick-ass Lightning implementation and it's extremely extendable. So it can work in many different environments. So I'll be working on different ways where it works very well on like easy-to-use mobile wallets, as well as like working on things for like LSPs and all the like high-grade enterprise-level Lightning wallets as well.
So previously you were at Mutiny and have also worked on other open source Bitcoin projects. And then you went to Taproot Wizards. Now you're back doing Lightning work, but this time at Spiral. Why the change?
So it's a long question. For me, like my Bitcoin journey has been a lot of just like hopping company to company a lot. And for good and bad reasons, a lot of them is just like, oh, I was at this startup. We ran out of Bitcoin things to do. And Mutiny was a little bit of that, of like we decided to shut down the wallet and the rest of the company pivoted to AI things. And I didn't want to work on AI. So I ended up going to Taproot Wizards because I want to do some like opcat research and figure out like, you know, if Lightning is cool, but let's figure out like what else we could do if we had these interesting soft forks. And sadly, I didn't get to work on totally everything I wanted to there. So I ended up leaving and just coming back to the light of Lightning. And I don't know, I'm excited. Like, I don't think Lightning was ever like dead or anything. It's just like, now it's like, okay, I tried the other thing and Lightning is actually just more real. So let's just like make things that actually work today.
Well, we hope you stick around and don't bounce around too much. So how did you become a Bitcoiner?
I was in college listening to a comedy podcast. And one of the guests was like talking about like, oh, this Bitcoin thing I bought, it's like up like a bunch during 2017. And I was like, I'm poor, I want to be rich. So I like bought like $50 worth of Bitcoin. I was like, cool, I guess I'm set for life now. And then I did the math the next day of like, if Bitcoin became like the dollar, what, how much would my $50 worth of Bitcoin worth? And be like, you know, good money, but not enough for me to retire. But I ended up watching like a million Andreas Antonopoulos videos and like just fully falling down the rabbit hole. And then after a while, I just kind of like sucked in and like, this is all I can think about. And then I was going to for college for computer science and I realized like, well, I can just spend all my time working on this. So I ended up contributing to various open source projects and bouncing around projects until I eventually got a job. And, you know, here I am now.
What are you currently most excited about in the Bitcoin space and why?
And there's a lot of interesting things happening in the space. I would say like a lot of the innovation is like happening right now around like mempool stuff. I think like it was like last week, 29.0 came out for Bitcoin Core, which is like the finalization of all the like recent things with like truck transactions and like very minimal package relay. And that stuff is extremely exciting to me. Back in 2019, I remember I had some contributions to Bitcoin Core. I sent out an email to all the contributors that year of like, what do you want to see next in Bitcoin Core? And I remember putting number one package relay. And now 6 years later, we actually have it. And I think that's like extremely exciting because not only does that make like Lightning and stuff more secure, but now we're even seeing like things like Arc is like even more like secure, or like before it might even not have been doable without package relay because it just makes the protocol not workable. So to me, that's extremely exciting of like, we've had these ideas for years and it's like, we're finally see them to fruition in the real world.
Thinking about new ideas, what is your dream project that you would love to see other Bitcoiners build?
That's a hard question. I mean, some of them are like, you know, I think my biggest gripe with the Bitcoin community is that we don't have like an emphasis on payments in the world. Like we all love Lightning and stuff, but then like you hang out with your friends and like play poker and no one wants to pay with Lightning, or if they do, it's from like a custodial wallet. And it's like, come on guys, we can do better. So I think like we do need like more next gen kind of Lightning wallets, or at least like self custodial wallets to like push that forward. But as well, I think that the other place we're lacking is privacy. We had like all the CoinJoin apps, but you know, people went to jail or just shut down the wallet. So those don't really exist, and nothing's really filled that hole since then. So I do think like there is a huge opportunity for like Bitcoiners to like push the privacy stuff forward. And like, we don't need to just do CoinJoin. Like we have lots of other ideas on how to do privacy in Bitcoin as well. I'm sure there's other ideas that just no one's ever explored yet that we could be doing.
So I was also going to ask you how we can get more people to use Bitcoin as a form of payment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a hard problem because like, it's the eternal like two-sided market problem of like, you need merchants that want to accept Bitcoin and customers that want to spend Bitcoin. And like, the problem is like spending your Bitcoin is always the dumbest idea you could ever make because you just wait a couple of years and now you know, you have a laptop that costs you $1 million. So that's a really hard problem. And I mean, I think that's an okay problem to have. Like, it's good that it's dumb to spend your Bitcoin. That means something's working. It's just, you know, not the payments part yet. I do think we are lacking in the infrastructure to actually make it happen, where like people are too okay with not spending Bitcoin. So then people are okay with the UX being bad at spending Bitcoin. So we do need to improve on that. But I think like the real way we get people using Bitcoin is when you go to Taco Bell, they say, do you want to pay in Bitcoin or credit card? And then eventually, can you pay me in Bitcoin? And to get there, it's just like, we just need to wait for Bitcoin to mature. And that's just like waiting and then building the tools so it can mature.
What's your most controversial Bitcoin opinion?
Oh, probably Opcat. I know everyone hates Opcat for various reasons, but I was a big fan, still am. And a lot of people hate it just because one of the people who are pushing it, and I fully understand that. But two, people are scared of like, it just brings so much and like all the unknown unknowns with it. I fully understand those criticisms. I like, for one, I think like, don't judge ideas based off who's pushing them. And then two, like, there's lots of unknowns, but also enables so many insanely useful things that like, it could be worth it. And I think like too many people are scared of like activating something when like I'm more scared of not activating something and, you know, not having Bitcoin progress.
Well, I was going to ask you a question later on about Opcat, but you answered that. So I'll come up with something else as we get there. So let's fast forward to the future and Bitcoin has failed.
Okay.
Why did it fail?
I think it will fail through apathy, either on Bitcoiner's side of like not pushing it forward, like where we could have a world where, you know, we're all getting rich from number go up and we don't take it to the next step, like similar to like kind of what happened with gold, where, you know, gold, everyone got okay with using it in banks and paper receipts for it. And eventually 6102 and all that kind of stuff happens and we lose the actual properties that made gold secure, where you couldn't inflate it, but you can inflate paper gold. And it feels like sometimes we're going down that route with Bitcoin, where people are okay with custodial systems, or people are okay with just, you know, never spending their Bitcoin and just gonna wait forever, which is fine. But the problem is, we don't build out that infrastructure to one day support a self-custodial future. Then we could just go back to, oh, Bitcoin is something you store in a bank. And it's either just something like the store value is all we have and there's never a payment system with it. Or we have, you know, a payment system, but it's fully custodial and tracked and no privacy. And we have like the same system that's today with, like, you know, maybe slightly better properties, but not the future that we actually wanted.
How do you think that we can mitigate that risk?
I think probably just like education and building. Problem is, those are probably like the two least scalable things. It's just like, you know, trying to say like, I'll inform all 8 billion people on the planet. Good luck with that. And then, you know, building things is extremely hard, but, you know, it's important. And I know we think we do a good job. I would say, though, we do need more Bitcoin developers. Like, you know, like I know, like, you know, probably half of all Bitcoin devs just from going to conferences. So it's like, I shouldn't be able to know all that. This is a $2 trillion network. Like, it'd be impossible to know every dev in PayPal, but it isn't Bitcoin. And, you know, PayPal should be a tiny fraction compared to Bitcoin. So I think we need to just, you know, increase the span of like who's working on this. Like, you know, the core protocol is always will be a small thing, just because if it's too big, you can't get anything done. But we should have like thousands of Bitcoin apps of all different kinds of builders. And we're just not there yet. But I think we will get there one day, because we're just trying to make all the tools easier and easier for everyone to get there.
Do you think it's like an awareness issue for developers, knowing that they can build on all these different Bitcoin projects? Or why don't you think there are more Bitcoin developers?
Yeah, I think awareness could definitely be a thing, of just like, we have like all these easy to use tools nowadays. Like, we were joking about earlier, like, you know, you can just vibe code a Bitcoin wallet. But I think most people, they see like Bitcoin, they think of like, oh, this ethereal magic internet money, that's super complicated. Like, and it's like, you know, your average dev is like, I could never figure that out. But like, you know, the average dev couldn't figure out how to manually write an HTTP request with like TLS and all that stuff. But you do that every day by just, you know, just simple like HTTP GET in your library. So like, I think that's a big daunting thing. I think too, it's just like, it's just a part of like, not everyone is interested in Bitcoin. Like, you know, the average developer is not very interested in, you know, money and finance and all this stuff. They're more, you know, they want to go play around with like fancy tech and AI or something, or just build a website. So like, there's a lot more. It's just like, you know, it's a very niche subject. So getting people interested in that is hard. But I mean, as it grows, I think it'll more and more bring people in. I mean, we've seen that over the years already. So I think it's just like, a lot of it's just like a waiting game of like, as we wait, number will probably go up, and that'll just entice more and more people to come along.
Maybe you need to go on some comedy podcasts.
Maybe, yeah. I need to do my stand-up tour.
Was it a Bitcoin-related comedy podcast? Or?
No, it's the podcast started as a Call of Duty podcast, and all the hosts like no longer do like any gaming stuff. But the podcast is like, it's an episode like 750 or something nowadays, and it was like, yeah, I don't know. I still have the clip from like forever ago. It was like episode 400 and something, where they just randomly talked about it, and yeah, here we are.
Watch out. The Spiral creative team might put you on a gaming podcast tour.
No, great.
So what's your perfect Sunday?
My perfect Sunday. Wake up at noon after either being out with friends the night before or sleeping in heavily. And then I'll probably just like watch some TV, play some video games, and then like hang out with some friends that night. Try to not keep it. Normally Sundays for me are just like, all right, let's be normal and survive till the next week. I don't know, maybe on Sundays too, it'd be good to like cook some food, like make a steak or some like chicken and rice or something, and have a good meal.
Love a chill Sunday. So do you think that institutional investment determines whether Bitcoin becomes the planet's preferred currency?
I think it's, I don't know, I wouldn't say determines, but it's extremely important. Like if we got literally zero of them, that would be a problem, because like the game theory then isn't playing out that like you can corner the market and get rich compared to all your all the other like competitors. But if like we only had a couple, I think that's fine, because that means like the game theory is playing out, and as well like then the rest of the masses can take over and, you know, demand it. But yeah, like, we're not reliant on them, but like, I think they're a good indicator of like if things are working.
What do you think the role of stablecoins should be?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting like running Mutiny Wallet. Basically, like anytime we talk to investors or like basically like any institutional kind of people, all of them would always be like, in the first like 10 minutes of talking to them, is like, do you plan to implement stable coins? Or like in the investor's case, like, how do you plan to outcompete wallets that do have stable coins? Because the thing is, like, yeah, Bitcoin payments are kind of a LARP, but stablecoin payments are extremely real all over the world. So I do think, like, it's undeniable that they're important to the world and that there is market demand. You know, the problem is, I think, is, like, they're on things like Tron or Solana, where I have no interest in working on that. And I think most Bitcoiners aren't either of, like, using that. But I do think, like, things like Tapered Assets bringing that to Bitcoin could be exciting. And yeah, I do think we should be more okay to them. And I hope they do get adoption, because, like, the cool thing is, once you have a user onboarded onto a stablecoin, it's basically the same UX as a Bitcoin wallet. So you're, like, basically beta testing all those UX things without having to do the other, you know, UX challenges of, like, volatility of Bitcoin. But if you can get over, like, QR codes and C words, then, like, you're basically there on a Bitcoin wallet. So I think it's a great way to, like, kind of Trojan horse Bitcoin into things.
So why are non-custodial wallets important to Bitcoin's future?
And without non-custodial, you don't have Bitcoin. Like, if we all just use custodial wallets, 21 million doesn't exist, censorship resistant doesn't exist, privacy doesn't exist. So you need a self-custodial wallet to enforce any of those properties. And, you know, some of them have different trade-offs where, like, you know, a lot of self-custodial wallets, you actually don't have privacy because you're just, like, sending everything to a back end. But that's fine. It's like, you know, it's just having all the different trade-offs of what's possible. But yeah, we just, like, you need the self-custody to enforce any of actually Bitcoin's properties. So if we lose any way to do that in the future, like, not just for holdings, but for payments, then I think we all just kind of lose out on Bitcoin.
How do you think that we can convince ordinary people, like moms, dads, friends, that Bitcoin is in fact safe, or even to get them onto non-custodial wallets?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I got my whole family kind of playing with Bitcoin, and basically it took like 4 years of me working in the space. So, like, I remember, like, in like 2017, from watching them see the price go from 20K to 3K, and then me selling them, I want to go work in Bitcoin. They're like, Ben, what are you doing with your life? And now they're like, oh, Ben, you're the smartest investor in the world. How did you know this was going to work out? So I think it's just like time of just like the entire world kind of knows about Bitcoin. At least they've heard of it. And it's just like just further and further normalization where, you know, now when my mom talks to like her book club, she can, and someone brings up Bitcoin, she can be like, oh, my son does that, versus before it's like, oh, I think I've heard of that. So it's just like giving people real world touches just makes it like more and more real. And then it's like normalizes it instead of like hearing the like, oh, Bitcoin's for drug dealers kind of mainstream narrative. But I think that's important. And then yeah, getting them onto self-custody, that's a whole nother problem. I mean, because the problem is this self-custody, it's worse UX, but you're doing it because of like principled reasons where you want the self-custody of like not giving up your data or not being able to get rug pulled. And the thing is like 99% of humans today are fully okay with like giving all their data away and like having a full custodial like bank and everything. So switching that over is hard. I mean, normally the answer is like let them get burned. But the thing is like we can't have 8 billion people get rug pulled. Like that's just going to be societal chaos. So I think that the only answer then is like education, which is hard. So I think the real way we have to do it is like having self-custodial products that are better UX than custodial products. I mean, the way you do that is like very hard, but it's just really just like building the best tools possible where like, you know, if we have like all the smartest Bitcoin devs working on self-custodial things, then, well, then hopefully like that tech will outcompete the like smaller set of devs or, you know, less competent devs working on the custodial products. I mean, that's the hope, you know, maybe we'll get there, maybe we won't, but I mean, that's only really way I'd see it working out.
Who are some of your favorite Bitcoiners in the space right now?
I always have to shout out Uncle Rockstar. He's eternal. Otherwise, I don't know, in Austin, we have a extremely solid crew. We run like our bit devs there. Like me and Buck Pearly run the bit devs, and he's great and eternally grateful for all he does. The rest of our crew too. We have like Bitcoin Park Austin, where like Jack and Rod run that place. We have like Parker and Will and like Anthony all showing up every day. Like, appreciate all of them as well. It's just like the Austin community to me is like invaluable, and I would never leave just because like I have so many deep friends there. They're all found just from Bitcoin.
We haven't swayed you by Presidio Bitcoin.
I mean, it's beautiful here, but
you can be a visitor.
I'll visit anytime.
Okay. Well, you also have a nice hub in Austin too, yeah. And Bitcoin Park is doing great things.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So one more question. What advice would you give to developers who are either just entering the Bitcoin space or thinking about jumping in?
And yeah, the biggest advice is like do everything you can. Like when I got started, I was just opening pull requests on various things. Just like, I remember just like sitting in class, scrolling issues on projects, being like, I think I could do that one. And then later that night, I would go home and try to implement it and make a PR. And like that just did so much for me. Like eventually, like I did enough. And when I applied for a Bitcoin job, they're like, oh, we recognize this guy from open source. So like that was like immensely powerful. Just being able to have people recognize your name through contributions is the biggest thing. So as long as you can just get out there and find a project that you care about and contribute to, you'll find a way to like get noticed.
That's great advice. Well, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Surviving your first week at Spiral,
yeah, right.
Even though we've all given you a bunch of projects, including the creative team.
Barely survived.
Hopefully we didn't scare you away. Where can our listeners follow you, reach out to you if they want to?
I'm Ben the Carman on basically every platform. So if I'm not there, I'm not. If you can't search Ben the Carman, I'm not on that platform. Otherwise, you'll find me.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for coming on the pod.
Thank you.